I feel like this morning the Lord's just reminding us that His arms aren't short. His arms aren't able to reach almost to us, but just not quite. Not only can they reach us, they can wrap completely around us. Maybe you've always felt that a meaningful, deep relationship with Jesus Christ has always been just out of reach. Well, I can tell you this morning, it's not His reach that's short. He has some long arms. Just as the tears were coming in the last few moments, I'm reminded that He savors the tears of the saints. It says that He collects them all in bowls and He has them. I wonder how many of us are here because of a chorus of sobs and tears went up from the hearts of people who loved us. Moms and grandmas and grandfathers and fathers, siblings who cried out for us to be found, to be rescued, to be saved. And I would just encourage you this morning that when He saves and He rescues and He finds, that in a moment, a chorus of tears that may have been sung for decades can be answered in a moment. The answer is yes. It's always been yes. Yes and amen. Teach us to wait patiently, Father. Teach us to abide in Your presence and to remember Your promises. As we remember, our tears are precious to You. You don't discard them, but You save them. You share in our anguish. You share in our loss. But God, You share the victory with us. Fear no longer has a hold over us. Fear no longer has a place in us. Unless we allow it. Has no authority over us. Father, I thank You that as we praise You and as we pray and speak to You, Lord, this morning I'm reminded of this battle that we're in. That You are not the only ears who hear the declarations of our heart. You are not the only ears that hear our cries, our declarations and our thanksgiving are heard by multitudes, many who are for us and many who are against us in the spirit realm. God, this morning I pray that this piece of heaven that's just come into our space right now, we wouldn't underestimate what You're up to and what You're doing. Lord, Your word says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, forces, evil rulers in the darkness of this age, in the heavenly places. God, we're just reminded this morning, we're brought back to memory the power and authority that it is You've shared with us, Your children. God, we don't want to be talked out and feared out of these promises You've made to us. That You never leave us, You never forsake us. That Your ears are open to the prayers of the righteous and that You hear every single word. God, in the waiting, may we not begin to doubt. I just feel like this morning there's some of us that just need to confess our doubt. It's sin. Doubt is sin. Fear is sin. When you doubt someone who's never told a lie in all of their existence and they've promised you something and you begin to doubt, it's sin. It's wrong. You're jading the character of the unchanging God. He's inseparable from His Word this morning. And whatever your promises that have been given to you, whether from Scripture or from a prophetic voice, it's time for us to stop doubting and start believing again. It's time for us to remember who it was that made the promise. God, I thank You that You don't have problem forgetting anything other than my sin. I thank You that You can forget that. Oh, we're just overwhelmed by Your presence this morning, Father. Thank You. Thank You so much. You didn't have to be here, but here's where You wanted to be. We didn't have to twist Your arm. You just wanted to be here, and so here You are. Jesus, we're aware of whose presence we're in. If there's anyone here that's not aware of whose presence we now and always live in, I just pray that You'd open your heart. It's not too late. You're holding out. You're holding out for something better. You're holding out for more proof. Jesus, thank You for Your overwhelming love. Chases us down. Fights till we're found. Leaves 99 so that all would be found. Thank You, Jesus. Yeah, I'm just reminded of a prayer I remember praying when I had said yes to the call of God on my life. And for those that know my story, I couldn't speak publicly. A physical restriction would happen in my throat and I couldn't breathe, so it's hard to speak if you're blue. And I had a good excuse. It was physiological. If I can't breathe, I can't speak. Like, you know, who can argue that? Pastor Vaughn argued that, thankfully. And he didn't receive that as a good excuse. And I'm just reminded of a moment that I had with Him when I said yes, but could we just have some times where it's my turn to talk and like I don't have to say anything and You can just come. It's close right now. If you don't feel His presence right now, nothing I say is going to help you. Sorry. I know my limitations. He loves you so much. And I don't ever want to be deceived and led away from the simplicity which is in Christ, and that is He came to rescue us. He came to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves because He loved us. We're so used to hidden strings and agendas, and there must be something behind it, and there's got to be some inner workings. Can we just give Him that this morning, that He just loved us? Sometimes when we shame ourselves, we make ourselves less than we are. We're actually incriminating His judgment. So You had no right to love me. I'm not worth loving. You know, those are insults to Him. We're challenging His discretion, His valuing of us. We're saying, oh, you don't know what you're doing, God. If You knew what You were doing, You would have just let me be where I was. You wouldn't have rescued me. We don't always do it out loud, but we do it in the inner workings of our mind. There's always an inner conversation going in our hearts and on our minds. And the enemy gets in with his own little voice, and he throws things in there that try to remind us of our failures. This morning, he just wants us to know. He saw it all before he said, yeah, I'll hang there for that one. Yep, you can put a stripe on me for those guys over there. Yeah, it's not the kind of love that I think I love You, but then it gets hard and now I can't do it anymore. It's a kind of love that humanity doesn't know about except for when we look at Jesus. And we see Him crying out in Gethsemane for relief, for some other way. And Father says this is the only way that we can have these rebels brought back. And He stays there until the job is finished for no other reason than love. If you let it become anything other than that, you miss the point. Thank You, Jesus. I'm just overwhelmed with the reality of His love. We all know it. Oh yeah, God loves me. Yeah. God loves you and so do I, right? We throw it around, but sometimes you got to take a minute and just let the reality of it soak in. Thank You, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to read a scripture in the book of Psalms, chapter 103. This will probably be a little different than the first message that we had this morning, which was another great time of worship and just being in His presence. And had a little more time to look through scripture, but I just want to jump into something because I feel like being Memorial Day and a day that reminds us to remember. I don't know about you, but I need reminders in my phone or I'll forget. I mean, I don't forget to eat breakfast and lunch, and somehow my stomach reminds me of that stuff. But reminders are such a huge part of our life if we want to remember the stuff that we're not supposed to forget. And I just feel like God, in this season that we're in as a church, wants to continue to remind us. I feel like this morning in this worship time was just a reminder of His love, a reminder that, yeah, we know it, but did you know it for today? Did you know it still is happening right now? Did you know that even though He saw what went wrong during the week, that love is still fully active right now? It was a reminder of sorts. And I just love this text that's written in Psalms 103, verse 1 through 5. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." I think that's the song we opened up with, isn't it? "Burn, O my soul." We're speaking to our soul like, get your passion out. He's worthy of it. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Isn't it amazing that we could have all the benefits of Jesus and forget where it came from? And forget that it's all about Him. And forget that He's the one that's worthy of our lives, of our praise, of everything. So we're "bless the Lord, O my soul." It's praise. It's praise that's happening here. This is written in song to be able to just declare who God is, because there is an audience besides just Him. Then we're impacting the spiritual dimensions of what's going on. I don't know if we just affected an acre or 10 acres or all of Kingston or the Hudson. I don't know what just happened, but when we're in the spiritual place of worship, things are happening. We're fighting in a realm where He's always victorious. He every demon, every principality knows His name and knows His authority and knows when His finger goes like this that they've got to change what they're doing. He's still God. And He has us here as His church to be able to just help change atmospheres. And I know that we changed some atmospheres, but forget not all His benefits. That's what Memorial Day is about to me. It's a yearly reminder for us. Don't forget. Remember, have memorial in your heart of what happened when men and women over the last centuries have given their lives so that we could have freedom, so that we can make as much noise in this room as we want and not have to worry about someone knocking on the door and saying, "Oh, can I see the lyrics, what you guys were just singing? Oh, okay, who was singing these? Oh, everybody? Okay, come with us." That's what happens in much of the late 1900s in communist countries. Whole churches just... still happens today in much of the Middle East, where there's no religious freedom. You either praise Allah or you die. Thankfully, it's becoming compartmentalized, and it's not as mainstream as it was just a few years ago. But I just want to encourage us this morning. We have an amazing bunch of people who have sacrificed, many gave all, so that we could have the freedom that we have. And the same is true in the spirit realm. Jesus gave all. When He hung there and said it was finished, He was saying that the payment for our sin was finished, but He was also saying, "I'm finished." He had poured out every last bit of what He had to pour out. It was done, it was finished, and it was a complete payment. But it says, forget not all His benefits. In this land of abundance, do you know how easy it is to forget? Because we didn't have to earn it. I don't know about you. Maybe you've had some family members and maybe you've served this country, and we want to just praise God for you and bless you for that. But by and large, the generation that now exists in America and in the West didn't have to pay the kinds of prices that World War I, World War II, some of those guys paid. We call them the greatest generation that ever lived for a reason. Those World War, I mean, they just... massive, massive casualties and massive, you know, on foreign soil. And we live in some of the prosperity, some of the benefits, some of the stuff. I mean, our founding fathers, people that came here just seeking religious asylum, who founded a bunch of colonies with only the Bible as their governing document, the Ten Commandments, were the way that people and citizens in this new country were required to treat one another. If it was out of that, then you were wrong. I mean, what an amazing journey we've taken and how we've drifted away from that, and we've left much of that behind. And because of that, we are forgetting the benefits of what we now get to wake up with every morning and wake up to on a daily basis. It says, this is a list of what he does. He forgives all of our iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. There's something about remembering all these things that God's done for us and not forgetting that allows us to be young. Regardless of how many birthdays you had or didn't have, how many anniversaries you had or didn't have, the reality is when we celebrate and we bless the Lord with our soul and we don't forget his benefits, our youth is renewed like an eagle's. You suddenly have a little more bounce in your step. You have a little more vigor in the way that you live your life because you're not forgetting the blessing and privilege that it is and the things that we have because of the sacrifices of men and women and Jesus Christ himself on our behalf, who then shared the blessing of what they earned with their own blood with the people that they died for. Psalm 77, verse 10 through 12 says this, "And I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds." I feel like of everything else I say or did say or will say, I feel like when you get family together, what do? They talk about what they're doing. "Oh, what are you doing? Oh, I'm building this. I'm fixing that. What are you doing? Oh, I'm working on this car." We talk about what we're doing, right? We talk about the deeds that we're doing. And I believe now that we're a family, we're brothers and sisters, that this applies spiritually. As we begin to forget not, we begin to remind ourselves that he's forgiving us, healing us, redeeming us, satisfying us with good things, giving us our youth and our strength back, that we'll remember these things and we'll talk about these things. Most people don't want to talk about what's good. They want to talk about what's wrong. It's just human nature. Sorry if you didn't recognize that. Usually, because that's what's weighing on our hearts, right? And we say, "Well, I just need to get this off my chest." We talk about the weights, and it's okay to do that in the right context and with someone who can say, "Hey, you know what? Let's deal with that together. Let me help you with that." But the reality is, when we come to a place of realizing the blessing and the privilege and not forgetting what God's done for us, the highest thing we can do is express thanksgiving. The highest way that we can respond to that spiritually is through thankfulness, because it connects us in the past and the experiences in a way that encourages our faith. It reminds us that he didn't leave us then, he's not going to leave us now. We remind ourselves of the deeds. We remind ourselves that he's doing things. And I would just encourage you to think about when we're getting together, it's a holiday weekend, focus on the stuff that's right. Focus on the things that you're excited about. You'd be amazed at how much you can encourage somebody just by talking about what's going well. Of course there's other stuff going on. I told the story first service about this puzzle. It's human nature. It's a 10,000 piece puzzle. Yeah. What she said. That's a lot of pieces. And it wasn't very big. It was about, I remember it being about this big. My grandfather made a piece of old Luon plywood, and that was our puzzle board. And so we'd do puzzles on this thing, and I probably started at 100 or whatever. But our whole family would get together, and we put in time, and we'd bring this thing down and put it on the table. When you're dealing with that many pieces, it took, I think, months probably to put this thing together. And I remember, you know, getting down. I mean, just the border, I think, took a week just to get this, you know, the border pieces. Find the pieces were tiny. 10,000 pieces is a lot of pieces all in a box. You know, and if you find those pieces where they're still, everybody else do puzzles? I don't know, maybe it's just me. No one does puzzles anymore. But you find those pieces like from the factory, there's still a few stuck together. And the purists are like, "Hey, wait, give me that." And they break it all apart, throw it back in the box. Yeah? Man, when you find one of those with a 10,000 piece puzzle, you're like, no, don't touch that. You gently lift it out of the box and you put it down. Like, at least, you know, you got a head start. Well, this thing was individually pieced, and it was 10,000 of them, and it was just this project of getting through it. And we had some family members that would come over that were into puzzles, and you know, it was kind of like that. Well, we did 1,000, 5,000, and someone's like, she shows up with this box, and it's like, there's a lot of zeros on the side of this Milton Bradley box, you know, and you're just thinking, what in the world? I can still see, and maybe 12, 13, my brother's 3 years younger than that, and I don't know if my sister helped out. It was a family thing. Every once in a while in the evening, we'd pull it down. Wasn't enough people to play Uno or a fun game, so we'd do the puzzle. And so I just remember, interestingly enough, my dad likes to stir the pot. If you haven't had a chat with him yet, maybe you're that new to the church. If you're like a week or two, he might have left you alone. But after you've been here for a few weeks, you're going to get, he'll try to figure a way to rile you up a little bit. That's just how he rolls. But he would sneak in like at night, probably. He'd get home from work late, 10:30, and pieces would go missing. You'd get to the end of a puzzle, and there was almost always like there was a piece gone somewhere, or more than one piece. And I remember finding one or two in his change cup that he had on the desk there, just because he likes to, and he'd be gone at work. He didn't know if he finished the puzzle that day or not, but he'd probably check it. I didn't see him do that, but he probably would check it and see, are they down to the last one yet? Like, where did they get there? Probably tomorrow. And then they're gonna be like, where is it? And they're looking over to, maybe he's just trying to get the house cleaned. I don't know, because we had to take all the, when you're missing a puzzle piece and you're down to the last one, and you've spent hours, maybe weeks or a month working on this thing, it's just like all hands on deck, find the missing piece. Like, you can't have 9,999 pieces and not have that one piece. It's got to be somewhere, right? That's what we say. Well, where is it? I don't know. It's got to be somewhere. We're glad we got that far. The logic is kicking in now, And it's like, but where is it? And I remember looking under things, looking behind things, looking in cracks and under the table. And usually, it would turn up like, I remember a couple of times show up in the morning and we just had given up and then it would be all put together. Like, oh, where did it come from? And sometimes he'd play sneaky, like, I don't know where it just must have fell out of the ceiling or something. And I can't remember this one, if we ever found the last piece or whatever it was that was missing. But it doesn't really matter because it's not the whole point of the story. The point of the story is that as human beings, we just need everything to be perfect or we're just like, we're not quite right. Like, it's just not okay. And I feel like, there's some truth to that. There's an OCD part of me that would probably still be pulling the couch. We probably did find it because I'd probably still be looking if we didn't. The vacuum bags, I don't know how many vacuum bags got cut open. My poor mom, I think, was the one that ended up cutting open the vacuum. I don't think I vacuumed it up. And you're digging out the hair and everything else, trying to look for puzzle pieces. Dreadful, right? Just because it has to have all the pieces. But I feel like there's a concept here that relates to our humanity that we just need everything to be just the way we want it, just the way it was supposed to be. And as soon as someone's dream or someone's plan or someone's expectation for something isn't 100% perfect, all of a sudden it's like everything just has to stop. 9,999 pieces can sit perfectly plugged together, which is a miracle that those were all found to that point. And life stops because of one piece that's missing. And I would encourage you this morning, I feel like part of remembering people and remembering sacrifices is that we can miss the theme and the concept because of one thing that was done wrong. Every time we went on foreign soil, it wasn't always with the perfect motive. It wasn't always, we didn't always do everything 100% right. But the theme behind freedom and giving a life for freedom was right every time. And it's the same with Jesus Christ and the kingdom. People come to church and you're like, man, there's a really great people here, but I don't know, that one over there, did I point at you? I'm sorry. You were in black. You were in the shadow. I didn't know there was somebody there. I was pointing at the floor, right there. See, one thing I do wrong, and everybody laughs at me. No, I'm kidding. It's a human condition, and we've got to guard ourselves against it, and this is why. It's the enemy of thankfulness. And if you think about it, I still don't know if I could do it. I don't know if I could be thankful for a 9,999-piece puzzle. I don't know how hard it would be for me to say, thanks, guys, we worked so hard on this. Isn't it amazing? Let's frame it and veneer it and put it on the wall and just leave that piece out. Who cares? I don't know if I could do that. But when it comes, and I get like crawly thinking about it. But in life, we're going to have, no relationship's going to be perfect. No car is going to run perfect all the time. No, nothing stays brand new forever. There's this broken world that we live in, and if we don't, by faith, know that there's a perfect realm that we're aiming towards, a perfect God who lives in us, a perfect spirit that's going to get us through what we have to get through, we'll fall into a complaining thing and be like, 9,999, great, but there's one that's missing. And we'll lose the energy. We'll lose the gladness of just living in the privileges that people have sacrificed everything for us to have. We've not seen this kind of success in America where anybody can go get a job. There's help wanted signs everywhere. No one can find help. We've got to remember. And I want to close with this thought, and then we have a video I want to show you. Because as much as I'm just trying to keep this light, there's something in my heart that I want to remember and be thankful for what it is Jesus has established when he called me and he saved me and he gave me the ability to actually use the voice box that he put in me for his glory. I don't take that lightly. It was something I never was able to do, and he gave that to me as a gift. But 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 4, we'll close with this scripture. It says, "You therefore, my son," Paul's writing to Timothy, it's a spiritual son of his, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." That's why we believe our discovery class is so important. If you've never gone through our discovery class, it happens at 9 o'clock every Sunday morning. Pastor Don teaches it downstairs, and then you can come up for worship and enjoy the second service. But it's just the foundations. We've got to find faithful people who will take seriously what we've inherited from those who did pay the price of what we now benefit from, and then pass that on to others also. And it says this, and then it says this in verse 3. "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Must endure. Jesus said you're going to have, it's not going to always go the way you want it to. You're going to have a missing piece. You may have half a puzzle missing. Yeah, I don't know what your life looks like. But he says this hardship's going to come, but we endure it as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life so that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Whatever you're dealing with, I don't want to minimize it, and I don't want to say, well, just ignore it. It's not really that important. But I would encourage you in this. Compared to just giving everything and sleeping out on rocks and wherever our men and women in armed forces sometimes find themselves, to be away from family, to miss birthdays and anniversaries and what our men and women in uniform go through, the life of a soldier is very different than the life of a civilian. It doesn't mean that we don't have stresses and we don't have challenges. I get that. I'm not saying it's all on them and we just get to live wonder. No, we all have to face our own battles. But compared to literally physically going out and facing live ammunition that can drop you in a split second, we back at home have an amazing gift and freedom and privilege. And I would just encourage us all, let's use it. Let's talk about the good deeds. Let's talk about the things that the Lord's done for us and that he's doing for us and that he's going to do for us in this next season. And if we can just go ahead and cue up that video. I'll just have a couple words after we watch this video. But just let this remind you on this Memorial Day. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, this morning, could you just stand with me this morning? Father, this morning, we just want to remember those men and women who have served our nation and who currently serve our nation. Lord, maybe they're still serving and loved ones back home are just wondering if they're going to get a call that day. Children are wondering if the next note from mom or dad will be the last one. And just they live in this constant reality of the unsureness of what can happen on a battlefield. So Lord, we just pray for you to be with them today, that you'd strengthen them, that you'd provide that sense of just comfort, that they would could be reminded that regardless of how far away their loved ones are, that you are there with them and you're there with their loved ones as well. That Lord, you're a spirit that doesn't just come here and you're not able to be somewhere else at the same time, but Lord, you love this whole planet. You created this for people to live on. And you're aware of everyone, Lord. And we just know that there's no limitation because of geography in your heart. So right now, Father, we just pray that you would, just on this day that's got to be so hard for families with loved ones who are currently deployed, to be able to know that this is a possibility, that they could also need to have a memorial day in their own family. But Lord, we just pray that you'd just lift them above that. Help them to find comfort and peace, knowing that you are acquainted with grief and with suffering. That you came and experienced a life that you should have never had to, but you chose to because you loved us. Jesus, we know that when you took our place there, in a moment in time, our sin and our debt was paid for in full by one act of a loving Father shown through a loving Son, so that we could be free and so we could experience freedom, Lord, way beyond just the freedom of a country, but the freedom of knowing that we go to be with you when this life here is over, that we are citizens of another kingdom because of what you did. Jesus, this morning we choose to remember that. We remember your sacrifice. We remember that you are faithful, that you fulfill your promises. And Lord, we just thank you that we know we can trust you to sustain us in this battle, that we know that we have to behave as good soldiers, enduring hardship, going through what we have to go through, because this is not the end. There is a freedom of spirit, that you've made us free from fear. We're no longer slaves of a force and a spirit that makes us limited in the way that we think and the way that we believe. God, you've made us sons and daughters. You've made us family together. Lord, as one family, we thank you that you're here with us now and that you go with us from this place. Lord, we choose to celebrate and remember the good deeds that you've done for us. Lord, we're so thankful for that. Help us to always be thankful. Remind us, Lord, when we fall off of that place of being thankful, that you could just help us to remember that we must never forget the greatness of your provision and your love for our lives is without measure and it's forever. God, we give you this day. We trust you with our plans and our gatherings, and we just know that you'll watch over us to keep us safe and to give us opportunity to just tell others of the goodness of our God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you need prayer this morning, come on forward for anything at all. We love a chance to pray for you. We believe that there's power in that. And otherwise, we'll see you downstairs for some refreshments. Greet somebody, especially someone you don't know. God bless you.